And let's recap on Psalm 119. We started in Psalm 119 3 weeks ago with Jeremy giving the introduction into the longest psalm, which celebrates the Word of God. While some have referred to Proverbs as a string of pearls, others have talked about Psalms as being a chest of gold, with Psalm 119 shining ever so brightly. As Jeremy told us originally, and Jake followed up with the last week, there's 176 verses, as you know, but they're divided into 22 segments of 8 verses in each segment, each headed by a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. And this was done in the original text. And most of your Bibles probably have that letter before each verse segment. I know my Bible does. The 22 letters are all consonants, none of which are lowercase. Each letter has its own sound and numerical value. The Hebrew alphabet is often called the alphabet because of the first two letters. I'm thankful that the pronunciation for each letter is on YouTube. Otherwise, I'd probably be butchering the pronunciation. Now, Jake did try to help me. Okay. The pastor covered the first 16 verses 3 weeks ago. Then we had BBS. And then Jake did the last 16 verses. And now I'm going to do 33 through 48. And I've entitled this study, The Power of God's Word. As you have probably heard before, usually a teacher learns more about a passage than he or she is teaching, because we want to impart the richness of the Word to you. And truly, Psalm 119 zeroes in on the subject of the Word of God. The hope of the believer is founded on the Word of God. It's not by coincidence that one of Jesus' names is the Word. There is no other basis for hope in life, as He is the Creator of life. Psalm 119:50 says, "For your word has given me life." Okay, let's get into the first 8 verses. And the Hebrew letter for 33 for 40 is Hey. I'm going to read starting in 33. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive in me your righteousness." Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life you've given us in Christ Jesus. And Lord, as I was reading in 1 Corinthians 13 today, you say that we should abide in the faith, the hope, and the love that you have given us. And we know, Lord, that the faith and the hope end when we get to heaven, but the love continues, just as your word does. And we're thankful for that. Lord, we pray for our pastor and his wife. We pray that they would have a good time, even though Jeremy's teaching a lot this week and on the weekend. We ask if you would bring them back safely. And Lord, help us now to get into your word. And so, verse 33, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end." Statutes in the Hebrew is translated commandments or ordinances or laws necessary, and may I add necessary to see where the boundaries are. Boundaries that God has given us to live within. And of course, because we are born into sin, right away we want to go out of these boundaries. But this is the beauty of God's Word. Once we got saved, as I want to believe all of you are, we had a passion to learn more about God's Word. You know, as a young Christian, you said, bring it on. I got saved at home. It was kind of an interesting, I don't want to get into a big story, but basically a guy from work, his marriage was falling apart, and he decided to go visit his mother out in Des Moines, Iowa. And I lived in the Chicago suburbs. And so he went out there, and his marriage was crumbling, and he went to church, and he got saved on the Sunday. So he comes back on Monday, and we worked third shift on the railroad, one of the railroads up in the Chicago area. And he was all excited, as you would think, being born again. And so he's sharing with me his testimony. And now he's a young Christian, but he's getting me interested. And he goes to Revelation. And so being a sci-fi guy that I am, I kind of connected with that. And I said, oh, really, you know? Well, I remembered that old girlfriend in college had given me a Living Bible. Now, she shouldn't have been dating me because she was a Christian. I wasn't, but she gave me a Bible, and I thought that was neat. So now I'm going to check what he's telling me, what this pastor had told him this last Sunday when he got saved. And I started reading my Living Bible. Well, pretty soon he leaves and goes to another job. He's leaving me hanging. You know, I have no church, but I do have the Bible. I'm not saved, but what he did is he started sending me little brochures on teachings that this pastor had given on Revelation. So I'm taking these little passages, little booklets, and then I'm going to my Living Bible and back and forth. And anyway, about 6 months later, I haven't connected with a church yet, but I haven't been saved, okay? And I'm scraping on the side of my house. I had a two-story house, and I'm up on this ladder, this old wood ladder, and it's kind of rickety, and I'm scraping, and my mind's, you know, scraping old paint is kind of a mindless thing, okay? And suddenly, it's like something hits me. And I know a lot of people don't go through a physical experience, but I did. And I felt like this weight was lifted off my shoulders, and like I could step off the ladder and just float to the ground. And I realized that God had come into my life. The Holy Spirit had come into my life. And suddenly everything's changing. You know, it's my thinking is changing. And it was on a weekend. In fact, this next month it'll be 40 years. But I was 32 years old at the time that I got saved. So now I'm starting to pray. Hey, Lord, could you show me a church that teaches the truth of your word? And it was interesting how he did this. He first showed me what truth was. And how did he do that? He sent the Jehovah's Witnesses came to my door. Mormons came to my door. I was invited by a guy at work to come to the Seventh-day Adventist church. If you don't know about the Seventh-day Adventists, they're very legalistic. Most of them are vegans. They don't eat meat. They observe the old laws, the Jewish laws. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I'll go, you know, and I went. And finally it came down to where the pastor was saying, well, you know what, you really need to quit your job, because I was working on a Saturday, because Saturday was the time, you know, to be there. And so I'm in distress now, because I've been with my job for like 7 or 8 years, and I thought, gosh. So I'm really praying. And finally, I talked to this old Christian guy at work, and he said, don't worry about it, John. They don't know what they're talking about, okay? Each day of the week is a time to worship the Lord. But anyway, the point is, now I'm really praying, Lord, would you show me a church? And anyway, I got a job out in the railroad yard where I was fixing these old alcohol heaters. And I said, well, now that I'm going to be by myself working on these old heaters for the boxcars. Can I listen to a radio? And they said, sure. So I get this channel out of Gary, Indiana. It's a Christian channel, and it had Chuck Smith, Jeff Johnson, and Raul Reese on it, all Calvary pastors, half-hour shows. So I got an hour and a half of good teaching Monday through Friday. Okay. And then I said, well, I wonder if there's a Calvary Chapel around here. And I got connected with Calvary Chapel, Elk Grove Village, a suburb of Chicago. And I was there for 19 years. And I got a lot of good teaching with Pastor Phil up there. In fact, I used to call him Professor Phil because he gave me so much good teaching. So it's interesting how God worked in my life. He showed me what wasn't truth by first bringing these false teachers to my door. And like I said, I was checking my Bible every day as they would tell me things. I could see they weren't right. And eventually, as I said, I connected with Calvary Chapel. And as the verse said, and I shall keep it to the end. I can't go back, and I'm so thankful that the Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. Verse 34 says, give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. The Lord wants us to understand his word. How many times did Jesus have to patiently tell his disciples, which we are? This is what I meant by that parable. We have to appreciate the honesty of his disciples at times. In Mark 9:14-29, the disciples are unable to expel a demon from this one man's son, if you remember the story. They say to Jesus, why couldn't we cast him out? Well, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting, Jesus replies. Oh, okay, we did pray, but I can't say that I fasted because I did have that big breakfast burrito this morning. Maybe next time I should fast also. And that's kind of an interesting thing I found. Excuse me, I want to get a little water here. I found in my Christian life, and I haven't done it too much lately, but fasting, I don't know if you guys fast any, but I got in a habit of fasting, doing a limited fast on Friday at the end of my work week. And I would start in the morning. I wouldn't eat anything till the evening. That's all I did. So it was a limited fast. But I found by the time I got to work, and I worked second shift, by the time I got there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was filled with the Spirit. And I wanted to talk to any Christians at work. And I felt like the Lord was leading me to just build them up. And I got built up with what they were telling me. And then we thought, well, who can we witness to today? So I would encourage fasting if you haven't done that very much. Now we're going to combine three verses, verse 35, 36, and 37. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. The psalmist is really asking for help here. Make me walk. Incline my heart. Turn away my eyes and revive me in your way. One of the greatest acknowledgments that we can make is that we are weak and we need God's help. Oh, I've got it together and I'm strong in that area now. Really? Pastor Jeremy reminded us 3 weeks ago of Joseph being tempted by Potiphar's wife in Egypt. Lie with me, she said to Joseph. And what did he say? How can I do this great weakness and sin against God? Genesis 39:9 says, don't you believe that Joseph was praying to the Lord? Don't let me sin with my master's wife. We We got to pray, folks. When I first got saved, one of the first things the Lord took away from me was the desire to smoke. And I was so happy because I had tried to stop a few times and had failed miserably. I'd even gone to using the smokeless tobacco skull, thinking, well, now I'm not bringing the smoke into my lungs. Well, pretty soon I'm smoking two packs and doing the skull the first thing in the morning before coffee. Unbelievable, as Billy Crystal would say. So I was elated when God took that desire away from me. So here we are 5 years later, and I hear from my sister who just got married, and she said, hey, we want to come to Chicago. They lived out of Missouri, and try to find work up there. And she said, can we live with you for a while we're looking for an apartment? And I said, sure. So they come up. Now, they're chain smokers. And so I had a little ranch house, and the dining table was in the kitchen, and we're all sitting there after supper in the evening. I think at that time I had gone a first shift. And so after we eat, they'd light up, and they're blowing the smoke around, and I'm thinking, well, I don't need to do this. You know, God, Lord took it away from me. Well, pretty soon, I got weak. And I'll remember I went and bought a pack of Kents. I used to smoke Marlboros. I was a Marlboro man. And then I went to Kents. And anyway, so I go get a package of Kents, but I'm not going to show them that I'm going to smoke. So I go down to the bathroom in the basement, and I light up, and right away I'm coughing. And the Lord's like speaking to me, why are you doing this? I took the desire away from you. So dumb, right? So I get the pack, and I go like this, and run it under a faucet, throw it away, and I say, okay, I'm sorry, Lord. You know? So what happened? Well, I got my eyes off the victory the Lord had given me, and I thought I was strong, but my flesh was weak. Sometimes we need to come back and just admit our weakness to the Lord and ask for help, and He will revive us. Of course, I'm probably talking to the choir here, okay? And I just want to comment briefly on turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things in verse 37. As you know, we are getting bombarded with images on social media, with our phones, tablets, computers, TV, and we just need to be careful. The Lord has really been working on me in this area because I love to watch movies, but you really got to pick and choose. And I started watching a movie the other night, and it just had constant swearing. I used to work in a diesel shop, okay? And every other word was a swear word by my coworkers. But, I mean, the way the movies are getting now, it's bad. Okay? I mean, you guys know. So we got to really watch what we take in. Okay, verse 38. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. After hearing Pastor Josh's great teaching this last Sunday about the great love that God has for each of us, it's hard to think in terms of us fearing Him. But what the psalmist is acknowledging is God's supreme majesty and power. He has control over the very breath that we take. We have given our lives to Him because He saved us and has given His Son's life for us. We bow down to Him, and He will bring us home one day. Verse 39. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. The Living Bible says, how I dread being mocked for obeying, for your laws are right and good. We find that we face very little persecution in this country. I see to the north of Canada. I mean, they're jailing pastors who are teaching against homosexuality. And the thing that I fear that may be coming here eventually. I'm thankful for the laws that we have, the freedoms that we have. but society is changing, as we can see. And I think with myself and my 40 years as a Christian, the hardest thing that I've seen is just debating with false teachers. And I remember one guy, one time, one co-worker, electrician at work said, "You're a Jesus freak." And I said something like, "Well, yeah, I guess I am. Thank you very much." I'm being a little sarcastic, but anyway, the point is, you know, I think that we are looking at a possibility of more as we get closer to the end. And I think that's what we're going to see. But hopefully, you know, we have to be thankful we're in America. We really do. Verse 40, "Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness." Quoting from a commentary by Matthew Henry, speaking on this verse, he says, "The psalmist is saying that I've longed after your precepts. Not only loved them and delighted in what I have already attained, but I have earnestly desired to know them more and do them better, and am still pressing forward towards perfection." And he prays for grace because he knows he's weak. "Hey, I love you, your word, Lord, but I know I'm weak and I need that daily revival." Okay, now we're going to go into the sixth segment of eight verses, which begins with the Hebrew letter of Vav. So we're going to read 41 through 48. And I couldn't understand how it could be pronounced Bob, but I did go to YouTube. Okay. Excuse me. "Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty. For I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." And we go back over the verse 41, "Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word." I love Hebrews 4:12, which says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and in joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Salvation according to your word. You've seen this, hopefully. You are witnessing with God's word and with the conviction of God's spirit. The work is getting done. Hearts are being touched. I generally go to verses in Romans when I'm witnessing to someone. Like, "There is none righteous, no, not one." Romans 1:10. 3:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Did I get that? No, I messed up. Okay, I'll have to check that again. But anyway, I use Romans, and a lot of times I use John 14:6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This church that we were with briefly before we came down here, I'll just tell you a real quick story. We had moved. Patty and I got married. We lived still in the near west suburbs of Chicago, and then we moved out to Sugar Grove, Illinois, with the idea of joining with a young pastor to start a Calvary Chapel out there. And actually, it was in a little town called Caneville, which is a farming community pretty close to the middle of Illinois. I mean, it's kind of funny. They called Sugar Grove, that was 50 miles out, a far west suburb of Chicago. Didn't make any sense, but That's what they said. Anyway, it almost seemed like the Lord was really working there, because we were able to rent a community center in the little town for $10 a month. I thought, hey, that's neat. Now, Jason and Patsy Taylor had already tried three times to start a Calvary Chapel. So here's the fourth time. And we're excited. Patty and I are excited. And nothing happened. I mean, we had a couple people come in. We had one family come in. And now you got to understand, this is a farming community. There's churches all around, kind of like the area here, Rogers and Bentonville. A lot of churches. Anyway, it didn't take off. And we went about 6 months, and I think they were really disheartened because it wouldn't go. And so Jason came to me and said, well, John, we're thinking about going up to Wisconsin, where his wife was from, and trying something up there. So, of course, Patty and I were discouraged by that, but we accepted it. I mean, they tried. And interestingly, they go up there, and within 6 months, they start a little church, and it takes off. God's plan, right? Well, what do we do? You know. Well, we ended up, I told Patty, I said, okay, there's no Calvary Chapel out here, but let's check out the local churches. And we'll go to each church and maybe spend a couple months to really get to know them and pray about it and see how the Lord's leading. So, and I always remember we went to one church and they had a great worship team, a great pianist. I mean, this was like concert pianist, okay? And the teaching was okay. But after about 2 months, and we're getting ready to join the church, the pastor comes out, and his topic of the day was eating your greens, eating healthy. And I thought, what does this have to do with Bible? And right away I realized this, you know, I'm praying about, this isn't the church. Anyway, make a short story of all this. We ended up going to a church that was only half mile away, and that's where the Lord led us. And we just saw the love of Christ there. It was like, it was a non-denominational church, but it had its roots in Baptist church, okay? And so we got planted there for a while before we came down here. And how did I get off on that? Anyway, you see, sometimes you feel like you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, and you are, but it may not always go the way you think it is. But the Lord still has his plan. As it turned out, we got connected with that church, and I had been a greeter and usher for many years, and one of the pastor came up to me there and said, John, how would you like to be director of First Impressions? Well, what's that? Well, greeting and ushering and security. And so I did that for a little while. And so we were blessed there, okay? A few years ago, speaking about God's Word, after I got off on that tangent, I was witnessing to this one guy several times, and he told me that his grandmother used to witness to him all the time. In fact, I believe his grandmother had raised him as a child. So one day, here I am talking Bible to him, and suddenly I see tears come to his eyes. He was getting broken by God's Spirit. I thought, he's here, he's ready to receive Christ. Well, it wasn't time yet, but within a month he did get saved. And I always remember I was really touched by that, because I thought, hey, I'm not any great orator. And I knew it was God's Spirit just touching this man's heart. Come around. I want you to get saved. The Lord is so patient. Verse 42. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. Here's this word reproach again. It can mean mock or even blaspheme. Some people are just not going to be reached. But we try because we know that they're going to spend an eternity in hell if they never come around and accept Christ. And then verses 43 and 44, let me just repeat them. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. The psalmist means that he wants the word of truth to be always in his mouth, because his hope is in what God's word can do, as we already talked about. God's word is enduring. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Verse 45, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Walk at liberty can be translated to walk in a wide place. The psalmist knew he was free within the limits of God's laws, and he was doing all he could to understand what the will of the Lord was. As long as I walk in and obey your precepts or commands, I'm free. This is for the mature Christian, right? We have to insert the word love here when we are talking about this, because not all Christians are grown up or mature. Some are still babies drinking the milk. The Apostle Paul deals with this issue in 1 Corinthians. Paul wasn't worried about eating meat sacrificed to idols, but he would not eat such meat if it caused a weaker brother to fall who thought eating meat was a sin. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 46, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. We have various examples in the Bible where God's people witnessed to kings and leaders. Most notably is the Apostle Paul, who witnessed to King Agrippa. King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26. The word was so convicting to King Agrippa that he says in Acts 26:28, then King Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. I hope that he did eventually. I hope that he did. And Paul was willing to go before Caesar Augustus to plead his case and be a witness. We have the prophet Samuel reprimanding King Saul when necessary, as well as Stephen, one of the early deacons and martyrs of the church, standing up and witnessing to the Sanhedrin. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. In our final two verses, 47 and 48, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. The psalmist expresses his great affection for the word because he knows that it is living and powerful. When you love something, you vigorously embrace it. You don't want to let it go. You're willing to sacrifice your life to this thing, this person whom you love. Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. If we really love something, we will cherish it forever. And it's nice to know that in loving God's word, we are loving something that never passes away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for helping your servant. And I just pray that maybe something that I've said tonight would hold with my brothers and sisters. I thank you for them. I ask that you would lead them in using your word when they're witnessing. knowing that we can talk heaps of things about Bible, but if we're not speaking your word, it's probably not going to do much. And Lord, we also are reminded that we shouldn't cast pearls before swine, and sometimes there are people that are just trying to trip us up. They have no desire to learn about God. And yet, Lord, we realize that we still need to speak. It's hard to understand sometimes, Lord, why some people just do not accept the truth. But we know we need to speak while we still can. And we thank you for your word that is eternal. Lord, we ask that you would prepare our brother Don Golden's words for next week as we continue in Psalm 119. And we thank you, Lord, for your love. Amen. Okay, I stopped a little early. I hope you'll forgive me on that. And have a good evening. Thank you for coming.